This morning, I would like for you to welcome Bobby Ray and Scott as they come and lead us. And turn on that monitor back there, if you don't mind. Sound people, hey, thank you. Y'all come with me, yes, sir.
Well, thank you. Happy New Year. It's good to be here. And I don't know where else I'd rather be than right here on New Year's Day. So it's good to be with you. We on this side, new year, new side, so we're going to sing y'all today, and we may do it the next time we're here. We appreciate all of y'all being so patient with us all these two or three years, but... yep. Get him wired up there.
I was lost in sin with no hope of finding heaven, aimlessly wandering, broken and blind. But then I knelt at his feet and I stood up forgiven because of Jesus, heaven's mine. When I called his name, sweet mercy came riding down the hill of Calvary to my heart just in time. No longer dying in a sea of unforgiveness, I'm born again, having light to shine. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. Now, friend, don't be fooled by the voice of the deceiver. He'll say, just believe in something and you're fine. But God says those who trust in Christ are the only true believers. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. When I called his name, sweet mercy came running down the hill of Calvary to my heart just in time. No longer dying in a sea of unforgiveness, I'm born again, having light to shine. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. When I called his name, sweet mercy came running down the hill of Calvary to my heart just in time. No longer dying in a sea of unforgiveness, I'm born again, having light to shine. Because of Jesus, heaven's mine. Yeah, because of Jesus, heaven's mine.
Well, it is good to be here this morning, and it's good to be ready to press on for another year with the Lord. And we know 2023, we don't know what's going to happen. We'll have good days, and I'm sure we'll have bad days. But through it all, the Lord's with us, and so we'll continue to trust him and work for him and live for him and rejoice and keep a song in our heart, and we'll just keep right on pressing on for the Lord. And this is in key, yeah.
It's a long and dusty road that my feet, they are traveling on. And sometimes, oh, the clouds are dark and low. But I've got to keep the faith and walk the straight and narrow way to reach that place that I will call my home. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I long so many hold this world so dear, but I am just a stranger here, just passing through on a temporary stay. But I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven will be mine. I'll watch and pray, for it could be just any day. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But the one that I long to see is the one who bled and died for me. My home, the place I long to be. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. My home, the place I long to be. That's my home.
I just got to sing that second verse again. I love that second verse. And this is so true.
Now so many hold this world so dear,
but we're just all strangers here, aren't we?
Just passing through on a temporary stay. But I'm looking forward to the time when all of heaven will be mine. I'll watch and pray, for it could be just any day. For my home is just around the bend. I think about it now and then. Reunions by the millions everywhere. But I'm looking on as if the dream, see the one who died.
I can't read, but anyway, I love that song, and I love thinking about home and heaven, and so many have passed on in my life and your life, and I'm looking forward to that big reunion and looking forward to seeing Jesus. So let me look at my list here. What we want to sing next, Scott? You got one? Let's do Last Light May. This is right there. It's all right. In G. I'm thankful to the Lord. I'm thankful that we can call on the Lord, and He wants us to call on Him. And when all these little different things come our way, and our the colds and the COVID and all that stuff, I'm thankful we can call on the Lord. And my son's wife, or my daughter-in-law, and her father passed away last week, and he was 53 years old, and sort of came on out of the blue. And so we never know, but it's just the honor that we can call on the Lord. And when everything wraps up here, we've got a place that we can all gather and gather around the throne. Isn't that right? We've got to be ready, though. We've got to be ready to go. This song, totally different subject, less like me, but see if I can get my rhythm.
Try my best, but I just don't get it right. Well, I talk a talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed, but I've been changed from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped, somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, to feed the beggar on the street, love to be your hands and feet, freely give what I receive, Lord, help me be. Build you first above all else, love my neighbor as myself, in the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith, a little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me, a little more like living everything I preach, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me.
God bless everybody on this side, and we love everybody. We're just facing this side today. It's like looking in a mirror. We switch sides. I think Diane said I need to play left-handed to make it fool everybody, make the thing looking in a mirror or something. But thank God for a new year. It's here, so we better be ready, right? Like Bobby said, just be ready to go to heaven when the Lord calls on you, because you never know. You never know. We've lost a lot of loved ones this year, but we're going to get through it.
I hadn't memorized all these words. We work on a lot of songs we have in the last 3 years or so. Let's see if we can think it's out of tune, but anyway. As I heard Josh Turner say the other night on the Opry, he was trying to tune his guitar, and he said, close enough for country music. So this ain't a country song, but it's tuned like a country song, I guess. Two in a hand.
Some lawyers can win, a doctor can heal, your banker can lend till your pockets are few. But if yours is a case of a sin-stricken soul, for the problems you face, there's only one place to go. Just climb up that mountain where still springs the fountain that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow that Jesus you heard of could take a black heart without love, wash it with the red blood, make it whiter than snow. Don't you gamble on life with all your luck and your skill, 'cause you can play the cards that death's gonna deal. For the Bible has planned who the loser's gonna be. There's only two winning hands, and they were nailed to a tree. Just climb up that mountain where still springs the fountain that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow can take a black heart without love, wash it with the red blood, and make it whiter than snow. Just climb up that mountain where still springs the fountain that sparkling crimson called Calvary's flow that Jesus you heard of can take a black heart without love, wash it with the red blood, and make it whiter than snow. Wash it with the red blood and make it whiter than snow.
We'll do one or two more here. I feel the presence of the Lord this morning, and I hope I feel it the rest of the new year, a whole year. There's nothing like feeling His presence. And I say, when I feel His presence, I know He's with us, you know. I know He's with us always, but it's just special to feel His presence. And it's something not to take for granted, is it? I'm the clay in your hands.
Try me, Lord, you know my heart. Search me here as I am. I'm sure you can see the weakness in me. Mold me, I'm the clay in your hand. Lord, should I stray from the straight and narrow way, and what you would have me to be. Help me deal with this self-stubborn will that brings out the weakness in me. Try me, Lord, you know my heart. Search me here as I am. I'm sure the weakness in me. Hold me, I'm the clay in your hand. Cleanse me now as I humbly bow, while watching from heaven above. Lord, linger near as you look on these tears and fill my heart with your love. Try me, Lord, you know my heart. Search me here as I am. I'm sure you can see the weakness in me. Hold me, I'm the clay in your hands. I'm sure you can see the weakness in me. Hold me, I'm the clay in your hands. Mold me, I'm the clay in your hands.
Do we have time for one more, or do you need to... Come on, go back to the piano there. Yes, that's all right. Okay. You can turn me down.
Y'all give him another hand.
When you mentioned it a while ago, I'm going to try to sing it, the Lighthouse.
Lighthouse?
Yeah, let's try Lighthouse. I'm sorry, it's a D. I don't know what I was hitting. This song goes back many, many years. And every once in a while I get a request to sing it. So you requested it this morning. And he heard it Friday night.
Yeah,
so you didn't get enough of it, did you? Mm-mm. But this is a great song. We're all familiar with it. And there's nothing like this old song, The Lighthouse. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I can see, and the light that shines in darkness. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would sail no more. Now everybody that lives around me says, tear that old lighthouse down. You see, the big ships don't sail this way much anymore. There's no use of it standing round. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. 'Twas the light from that old lighthouse that stayed. Let's all sing that chorus real quick. Okay, well, help me sing it. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. So much.
Thank you, Bobby Ray and Scott. Y'all give him another hand. You know, we sing songs like that, and as we sing those songs, I often wonder if we think about the meaning of them. I know that we know that the lighthouse is Jesus Christ, but I don't know. I know some of y'all are from the coast and raised on the coast, and you remember seeing the lights. I know Jesse's daddy looked after the lighthouse. But have you ever thought about what it means when the light is shining out to direct us home? That light is the word of truth. It's the word of God. It's the truth of God. It's scripture. Jesus said in chapter 8 of John that I am the light of the world. And he's talking about judgment there. When he come and shone light into the darkness, it was to give the truth of the gospel. And I say that just because that song got me stirred up there. You know, that's not part of the sermon. That's free. I won't charge y'all for that this morning. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles, if you will, this morning and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm pretty sure I preached this sermon here probably about 2014, maybe, if I remember right. And I've got some guests here that are not guests because they've been twice now. I'm glad to see them this morning. They heard this message Tuesday night, so y'all get a double dose. Amen. And so I'm glad y'all are here this morning. But if you will, if you've turned there, say amen. I'm going to read verses 10 through 17, and we'll jump in here. Paul is writing here to Timothy, and in verse 10 it says, now you, and again in verse 14 it says, you however. Those two, it's the same phrase there in the original language, and it means but you. It's a contrast. It's like, hey, here's what the world does. Here's what people that don't believe in the Bible does, but people that use the Bible to guide their life, Timothy, like you, it makes a difference. So when he says, but you, in verse 10, it's a contrast. He said, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, which such has happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I've endured, and out of them all, the Lord has rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly, say godly, in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. So in 2023, if you're going to follow Christ, I better ask this. How many of y'all going to follow Christ? All right, sermon's for you this morning, amen? If you're going to follow Christ, you're going to meet oppositions. What do you mean? Well, it could be that you're on the way to the funeral and your tire light comes on. It could be that everything's going good. You've toted an umbrella like a sissy all day long and not needed it. You finally put it in the car and you get out there and the bottom falls out at the funeral yesterday. You know what I mean? If you're following the Lord, things is going to happen. But Paul here is talking about, hey, we'll be persecuted by people that are not following God's word. Wow, they are upset. When you don't follow God's word, bad things happen. You know, you might make it for a while and things go good, but when you start having problems, they're going to persecute people who are living by God's word. So he says, look, Timothy, you're going to be persecuted. Verse 13 says, but evil men and imposters, they will proceed from bad to worse. They'll be deceiving and being deceived. You, however, so Timothy, you're different. You need to continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15, and from childhood. He's reminding Timothy that the Bible, that the Holy Scripture has made a difference in his life, in what he believes, in how he behaves, in whether he is following godly examples or ungodly examples. He says, and you from childhood have known the sacred scriptures or the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, all scriptures inspired by God or breathed out by God, and it is profitable for accomplishing these purposes, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin 2023, as we start afresh this day, Lord, I pray that we would reflect on the past, on how the Bible's made a difference in our life, that we would consider the mistakes we might have made in 2022, and Lord, that you'd help us through guidance of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit not to repeat our mistakes, but Lord, also the victories that we have in you. Lord, the conviction that we have that your word is true and that you would not deceive us, but lead us in righteousness and leading a Christ-centered life, that, Lord, these victories, that we would repeat them this year. Now, Lord, as we look at this text, I pray that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds and guide us in the preaching and the reception of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, the Bible makes a difference in our belief and in our behavior is what Paul wants us to know here. I've told this story before, and I told it Tuesday night at Cowboy Church. I used to drive a truck, and, you know, I had to look up one time because before they changed the name of the company I was leased to, it was called Logistics. And I was like, what is logistics? That's a fancy way of saying I was a truck driver that took stuff from point A to point B. Amen? Now, I loved the job until I become a preacher, probably the best job I ever had. The Lord's blessed me with good jobs, but I just enjoyed that job. And a lot of times I would come back through Nashville no matter where I was going, and I could spend a couple extra days at home. Well, I left there one Friday night from Dallas, Texas, and I was heading home, and I was going to burn some miles behind me so that the next morning I could get up early and get on to the house, and I could stay there from sometime Saturday till late Sunday night before I had to leave again. And so I'm kicking it up the road, and I get there past Texarkana, and it starts raining, and I mean it is raining hard, and it's late, and I'm tired, and you know your eyes, you know how it is, and you're tired, and the lights, and one thing and another. And I got about Arkadelphia, somewhere around Arkadelphia, Arkansas, and I was like, Lord, if you just help me get this truck parked before I fall asleep or wreck, Lord, just help me here. And I knew about where this old fuel stop was, so I got off, went up the ramp, and tried to pull in there. And usually you could park in there because all the young people like them fancy truck stops. This was a mom and pop place, if you remember what I'm talking about, with a dirt parking lot. Well, I had this low California bumper on my truck, so I had to be careful not to run in any holes. And when it's raining and it's mud puddles, you don't know how deep they are. Well, I got in there, trucks was everywhere. It looked like a fish fry. You know what I'm talking about? Where everybody just comes over and parks any which way. And I was thinking, oh, I'll never get back in here. So I turned left, and I went across the interstate to the westbound side at another old store, and it was hardly nobody there, 4 or 5 trucks. So I backed in, and I went to sleep. With light come up, shine through the window, and I got up, and I heard the other trucks cranking, and I was like, I'm going to kick it on home. And so we all pulled out, and I was following 2 or 3 trucks, 2 or 3 behind me. We come out of that truck stop. We just went right on down the ramp, and we took off. We was getting her done. You know, you get to going, the truck's running good, and y'all boys that drive trucks know what I'm talking about. The flat spots come out of the tires. The mirrors, they quit shaking, and they get smooth. And all of a sudden, the engine changes sound, and you like smiling. And then you look over in the mirror, and the sun was shining in the mirror. And I said to myself, Self, you are going the wrong way. The reason I knew I was going the wrong way, back then we didn't have GPS systems. We had what you call a trucker's atlas, a Rand McNally atlas. Had one for cars, you had one for trucks. It gave you the safest routes where to go. Low bridges, low clearances, told you all these things. And in my mind, in that map, I could always see that little Peterbilt going across them roads because I always checked it first. And I could see that little Peterbilt heading west, knowing that the sun was over here in the east, and I'm like, I'm going the wrong way. That atlas was called a trucker's Bible. And that atlas kept us on course to safely get home, to safely get to our destination. But friends, there's a Bible that is better than a trucker's atlas, and that's called the Word of God. And when Paul is writing this, he's writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, who he led to Christ, who he has trained, who he sent to Ephesus, a church that Paul planted. He sent him there to help grow that church and those young Christians. And now Paul is sitting in a cell below ground, waiting to be executed for preaching the gospel. And this is his last will and testament to Timothy. This might be the last words that Timothy ever reads from Paul. And Paul tells Timothy here in chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, that I have finished the course, I have fought the fight, and I have kept the faith. All that is left for me is the crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge will give me on that day. He's talking about heaven. He's talking about the Bible has made a difference in my life. He tells Timothy right here, here's the sermon idea. He says Christians should continue learning from the Bible. Timothy, from your childhood you have known the sacred writings. He says as Christians we should continue learning from the Bible and being convinced of its truth. You know, I heard a Catholic priest talking about Pope Francis and Pope Benedict yesterday after Pope Francis has passed away. His whole career, he was fighting relativism, which means that what is right for me is right for me, what is right for you is right for you, and we need to agree to get along. In other words, there's no absolute truth. And Pope Francis always fought that the Word of God is truth. Pope Benedict is talks kind of like our younger generation does now. We should have a conversation about this and come up with a consensus. A consensus on us agreeing to disagree and to disagree on truth is not truth. The Word of God is truth, and it gives us a good understanding of how to live a Christ-centered life. So here, I want us to look at this morning and see that, first of all, Paul reminded Timothy of the difference it has made in his life. He is writing chapter 3 here. As he's writing chapter 3, he gives him three commands. In verse 1, he says, realize or know this. In chapter 5, he says, you need to avoid false teachers. And then here in verse 14, he says, you need to continue in the things you've learned. In other words, you need to continue trusting the Bible. You need to continue using the Bible for the roadmap of your life. The purpose of this sermon, the purpose of chapter 3 today, is to convince you that the Bible makes a difference in your life, to convince you that it makes a difference in your beliefs and in your behavior and what we believe about Christ and how we live a Christ-centered life in a world that is opposed to the Bible, opposed to the gospel, opposed to any authority, opposed to anyone telling them that, hey, you got to do it this way. Now, the Bible tells us what to do, but don't say we got to do it that way. That's called consequences. You don't have to do what this Bible says, but I will tell you this. If you don't do it what the Bible says, you'll face consequences. You say, well, Pastor, I do what the Bible says, and I still have hard times. Yeah, but just think, if you wasn't following the Bible, there'd be a lot worse. There'd be a lot worse. And so here, Paul tells Timothy, you need to continue in the things that you have learned. The Bible has made a difference. He reminds him here in verse 15 that from childhood you have known the sacred scriptures, which was able to give you wisdom or to teach you about salvation in Christ. And then as he's writing this and as he transitions out of chapter 2, in chapter 3, when he says realize this, it means to know this. I want to warn you of something. How many of y'all thought that things was bad in 2022? Have you got a retirement statement? I ain't going to retire till my 100. We think things was bad in 2022. Paul reminds us here, guess what? You ain't seen 2023 yet. Every year till Christ returns, the world will get worse and worse. The world will continue to get farther and farther away from God's design. But there's always, throughout the Bible, a remnant that follows God's word, comes back to God, and the Bible makes a difference in how we deal with persecution, how we deal with difficult times. Paul tells Timothy in verse 1, chapter 3, realize this, that in these last days, he's talking about the time between Christ's resurrection and Christ's return, difficult times will come. And he gives us a list here. He says, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. They'll be disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. They'll be without self-control, brutal. They'll hate good, treacherous, reckless. They'll be conceited. They'll lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. Here, Timothy, avoid these men. So realize this. Things are going to get worse, and you need to avoid false teachers. And I can sum up how things get worse. People love themselves and pleasure more than they love God. They love pleasure more than they love praising God for leading them in a holy, Christ-centered life. He says, Timothy, look, you know the Bible's made a difference. You see how these men are doing. You need to avoid these men. And he goes into giving more details about them. And then he says that they will proceed from bad to worse. But guess what? They don't win. They don't progress no farther. There's a certain point that they get to, and God just stops them there, and their consequences stops them. And he says the idea of living your life without the Bible as your roadmap, you'll deceive yourself, and you'll be deceiving others. But he says, Timothy, the Bible's made a difference. Verse 10, he says, you are different than these men. You've not been deceived. You've not gone from bad to worse. He says, matter of fact, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, the things that I have taught from the Bible, the way that the Bible has shaped my life. Look, Timothy, look at my example. Look at your mother. Look at Loris. He says here that you have known from childhood, whom you have learned from. In chapter 1, he says it's his mother and his grandmother. It's his mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Eunice, and his mother, Lois. You have learned from them. You have seen how the Bible made a difference in their life. What about you? Is it people in your life you have watched and seen how the Bible made a difference in their life? I preached a funeral yesterday, and two of the man's friends, young man, younger than I am, two of his friends, was going to speak and give things, in remembrance of him. And most of the time when they do that, it's all about the funny stories, which it was one story there. But you know what? Every one of them people that got up to say, I remember when Robert started wanting us to pray before a meal. I remember when Robert wanted us to start studying the Bible together. Talking about when they was young and how that changed their life when they was getting out of high school. He made a difference in their life. I know people that has made a difference in my life, even when I wasn't saved and living right, because I knew when they told me something, they was always backing it up with Scripture. They was always saying, hey, this is why my life is different. Why? The Bible. God give me His Word. We often get in trouble and pray. When y'all get in trouble, y'all pray. Did you know that one way God answers us is through Scripture? You remember back in 2010, we studied experiencing God here. Some of you was here then. And Blackaby says this. He said God still speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, through other Christians as we gather together, and through prayer. The more we depend on the Bible and learn from the Bible as we pray, we hear God speak His Word back to us. As we are looking for instructions and look and study the Bible, we learn that it makes a difference. Paul says, Timothy, the Bible's made a difference in my life and in your life. Look how these other people handle difficult times. They trust in themselves. They trust in pleasure. They're not worried about what God wants. But look, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose. Look, you patience, perseverance. And he said, you've seen the persecutions and suffering that I have been through. And he says, look, if we desire to live a godly life, verse 12, we'll be persecuted. But he says in verse 12 that God will rescue us from all. In verse 11, he said, you've seen that I followed the Lord, and no matter what happened, in the end, I won because God rescued me out of my troubles. Have you been doing something in your life and you just think it can't get no worse, and then it does get worse, and you keep following the Lord, and then just all of a sudden the Lord works out the details? I love that when you're praying sometimes. Paul says to pray without ceasing. Now, he don't mean you got to be praying every minute of 24 hours a day. He means have that attitude where you're praying always. Have you ever been praying and you just in a difficult situation, and you keep praying, and you think, but the Lord don't hear me. I'm not sure what's going on. You keep reading the Bible. You're trying to look and figure out, you know, what does God want me to do here? And you're reading Scripture, and you're praying. And then one morning, you're praying, and just all of a sudden, this calm comes over you. And the Scripture all of a sudden pops in your mind. It says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Or no one can snatch you out of my hand. And you get this calm assurance. Guess what? I'm on the way home. The Lord's going to take care of this. I ain't sure how, but I'm confident that He is. That's the power of the Word of God when we use it for a roadmap in our life. Paul's telling Timothy here, look, I'm on the way to heaven. He said, the Bible has directed me this far, and guess what? It's going to get me home safely. Just like I knew to turn around that Saturday morning. You know, it would have been easier to keep going with the flow. We was going along, things was going good. And we was bumper to bumper and letting it roll. And I knew when I turned on my turn signal before the CV popped, they was going to be laughing at me. Now, it would have been easier just to travel with them dudes till they stopped to eat and not told nobody I was going the wrong way. But the CB said, United, what's wrong? That old Pete breaking down? I said, no, sir, I am going the wrong way. And somebody else come on and said, I hate it when it happens. You know, the Bible shows us when we're going the wrong way. And the Bible shows us to turn around. And that's part of why the Bible makes a difference in our life. Look what Paul says. He says that the origin and the purpose of the Bible is why it makes a difference. He says in verse 16 that all Scripture is inspired by God. This means literally breathed out by God, literally spoken. God give us the ability to communicate with language. You know, I often say that words matter. Matter of fact, Mona told me she was tired of me hearing me say words matter all the time. She says, would you quit talking to the TV? They can't hear you. They'll be saying things, and they'll be redefining phrases, and I'm like, that's not what that means. Words matter. God gave us language so He could communicate with us. He gave us the Word of God so He could communicate with us. He sent Jesus Christ, Word in the flesh, so we could see that living God's way makes a difference in our life. Christ lived by the Word of God because He was the Word of God. And as we look at this, when God created everything, it says He spoke it into being. He spoke everything into being. And when He spoke or breathed out His Word, it's actual thoughts of God breathed out and penned by men, guided by the Holy Spirit so that we know what God wants us to do. That's a loving God. He says it is all breathed out. And He says also it's profitable. God gave it to us for a purpose, for our benefit. Say benefit. Don't y'all like benefits? Everybody talks about benefits, right? Benefits. What is the purpose of the Bible? God gave us the Bible for these purposes right here. For teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, this is why I say the Bible makes a difference in our beliefs and in our behaviors. Look at this. First of all, teaching and reproof. You got something positive and you got something negative. You got something positive, teaching. It teaches us about coming to salvation in Christ through faith, and also teaches us how to live a Christ-centered life. Excuse me. He says, for. In each one of these purposes, He has the word for. So it's for this purpose, to teach. It is to teach us. He tells Timothy here that he has known the sacred writings since his childhood, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ. This idea of giving you wisdom. How many people like wisdom? You don't like nobody call you dummy, right? We like wisdom. Proverbs talks about the wisdom of God and the understanding of God. He says the Bible can give you wisdom. This idea of giving us wisdom is teaching us to be wise in the things of God. teaching us not to be deceived by the lies of the world and the lies of Satan and the lies of false teachers, but to be guided and instructed by the truth of God, that the truth could be in our lives, that we could live this truth. So this is the truth. That atlas told me that I needed to be facing the sun at 8 o'clock in the morning if I was going to Nashville. The atlas told me that. How did I know that? North. My atlas, you got a legend on it. You hold the atlas up, here's north, here's east, and there's west. If you're going to get anything else right, you need to know where north is, especially if you're driving a truck and you get in one of these big cities with no way out of there. You need a plan, and that is north. But let me tell you, the Bible's got a truer north than any atlas, and that's Jesus Christ. The Bible is always pointing us due north. What did Christ do? How did Christ do this? How can I glorify Christ? Christ said that he would not leave us as orphans, that he would give us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, my purpose is to glorify the Son of God. Jesus said his purpose was to glorify the Father. Guess what? As children of God, through faith in Christ, we glorify Christ by living and believing in the truth about him. And when we glorify Christ, Christ glorifies God. And when God is glorified, everybody's happy. Say happy. And the way we know how to be happy is by the Bible. And Paul says here that, look, it is breathed out and it is profitable for teaching. Okay, now y'all like the positive. Let me give you a little negative. Guess what? Sometimes you're not going the right way. And the Bible reproves you. I believed with all my heart when I went down that ramp. I was tired. I was asleep. I went to sleep on the opposite side of the road than normal. When I followed them down that ramp, I did believe that I was going home. But I was wrong. That atlas told me I need to turn around. You know, often we can get started off in our week and get tangled up at something at work or something at home or something with some friends or something at school, if it was young people here. And we realize, because we've been reading the Bible, I don't know what's wrong here, but something don't smell right. Something's not right. What I'm believing about that, I was talking to somebody the other day, and as soon as I saw the author of the book, I was like, uh-oh, I don't know if I got enough time to talk about this. It was about heaven. Guess what? There's a lot of books and a lot of TV shows that says some things that sound good about heaven, but they're wrong. We need to be able to compare that to the Bible to correct our beliefs. When we got something that don't sound quite right, somebody's saying about God, about heaven, or about the Christian life, go to his word. Because why? It'll correct us. It will turn us around. And next, he says it is for correction. Now, so Paul gives y'all a positive and a negative for your beliefs. The Bible teaches us what to believe the truth. The Bible reproves us or convinces us, hey, I got an error in the way I was thinking. I wasn't thinking correctly about this. This is not true. I don't need to believe this. And then he gives us two things about our behavior, two purposes that God uses the Bible for our behavior, to shape our behavior. First of all, it is a negative. You don't like this, but guess what? Correction. Y'all know what I'm talking about? My daddy used to correct me, and the worst thing about that was he'd say, go get me a switch. You know, and I'm a smart guy, so I was like, if I get a little one, it's going to hurt, but he might make me go get a bigger one. But if I get a bigger one, he might kill me with it. Right? Correction, because I wasn't doing right. The Bible corrects our behavior. The Bible says God will tell you, don't do that. Why not? Because it is wrong. As times get worse, I just want you to think about some of the laws that was passed in 2021 and 2022. When people know that if something is wrong and it doesn't line up with reality or God's holiness or God's truth, what do they do usually? Lobby to get a law passed. When I tell some young people, you can't do that, why not? It's legal. I'm like, I don't care if it is legal to smoke weed. It ain't good for you. You're too young. How do you know? Because it's clouding your thinking. Other things, marriage, abortion, different things. People will pass laws and they say, well, it's okay now. I know it used not to be okay, but it's legal now. Just because you don't go to jail for it don't mean God approves of it. Y'all got me? We can't follow what the world says. We got to follow what God says. And it's coming a time, and with this new Marriage Protection Act that they've passed, it won't be long. The church it's going to be illegal for the church to say things against certain kinds of marriages. You just wait and see. That's why they passed it. You said, well, I thought they wrote that in is why some of the Republicans voted for it, so they could protect the church. They did put it in. They did say that's why they voted for it. However, when it went back to the House, they took out the part about the church. They sent it back, and the same people voted for it again. So guess what? They're protecting the world to go against the Bible, but they're not protecting the church to stand up for the Bible. And so we got to know that, Lord, let your word correct me so that I'm right with you if I'm wrong with everybody else. You know, the problem with going the wrong way when everybody else is going the opposite direction is you're always running into people. Paul says you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have trouble. You know, I took my Uncle Stanley when his daughter was in a real bad wreck. I don't even think I'd ever been out of North Carolina, and maybe Myrtle Beach. I might have been to Myrtle Beach. I was real young, and I drove him to Nashville straight through after she had that wreck from here. It was 10 hours. We got there. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I was sleepy, and I'd seen the sign for the hospital, so I turned down that road, and Uncle Stanley woke up, and I'll never forget this. He said, boy, either you or all the rest of them cars are going the wrong way. We was on a one-way street. The Bible tells us, hey, I don't care if everybody else is going that way. As long as you're going the way God says, you're on the right road. The right road to heaven, the right road to a Christ-centered life. And here, Paul says that Timothy, it is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction. And then he says for training in righteousness. This idea of training is the idea of instruction that's intent on forming habits in your behavior. Training you to do something. You train when you lift weights. You train if you're working a horse to show. You train if you're playing golf. You train for all these other activities. Guess what? You got to train to live rightly before God. And the Bible trains us. And you develop these habits. I'd asked Tuesday night, somebody in the back, Mark Brown, said 21 days. Guess what? How many days does it take to make a habit? 21. John, the Gospel of John has 21 chapters in it. If you're not in a habit of reading the Bible for the next 21 days in 2023, starting today, read one chapter of John a day, and in 21 days you should be in the habit of reading the Bible. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have time every morning to read the Bible. Well, start reading it and finish it at lunch or at supper or at bedtime. Just practice reading the Bible every day, and it'll be a habit. A lot of you use your phones. You know, used to, I thought everybody was talking when I was preaching. Then I realized there's apps with Bibles on them. Amen? You can put a Bible app on your phone. Get a good translation. My version and some of them will have 3 or 4 free translations that are good. And it can send you a Bible verse for that day. That's why I send out those Bible verses to people, so that we are in a habit of every day letting the Bible shape our life to train us in righteousness. So Paul says here that the origin, because the Word of God is from God or breathed out by God, we can depend on it. It'll make a difference in our life. Hey, nobody else will tell you the truth all the time. Sooner or later, somebody will let you down and tell you the truth only as far as it benefits them. God will never let you down. God will always tell you the truth. He's the origin of truth. And also, he has a purpose for the Bible. It is to shape your beliefs and your behavior so that you can come to faith in Christ, so that you can live a Christ-centered life, that your journey here on earth will end up safely to your heavenly home. Paul says here in the last portion of this text that God purposely uses the Bible to equip us for a Christ-centered journey to our heavenly home. Look at verse 17. So that means here's the result. If you've depended on the Bible to make a difference in your life, to teach you, to train you, to change you, your beliefs and your behaviors, he says, here's the result. the man of God will be adequate and equipped. Adequate and equipped, both are adjectives here. When they put together in the original language the way they are here, it means super equipped. Y'all remember Superman when you was a kid? And Superman could do anything, couldn't he? He could see through buildings, fly. He could do anything. He was Superman. This is what it's saying. When you depend on the Bible to make a difference in your life, you will be super equipped to live a Christ-centered life. What does that mean? You'll have everything you need. Well, I thought I had to go get that newest book at the carpenter shop. No, the carpenter shop's got good books, but you need this book. I thought I needed 12 steps and 3 plans. No, you need the Bible. These other things help us, but the Bible is adequate and it equips us so that we've got everything we need to believe rightly and behave rightly and prepare to go to heaven and live with God. You know, the beauty of the Christian life and believing in the Bible is we get to live on earth as if we're already in heaven. And that's what Paul has been telling Timothy. He says, Timothy, I want to warn you this. Bad times is coming, but the Bible has made a difference. It's made a difference in my life, and I want you to think about how it's made a difference in your life. Look at the difference it made in your mama's life. Look at the difference it made in your grandma's life. Look at the difference it made in my life when you was following and learning from me. I'm going to go. I'm on the way to heaven. But Timothy, I want you to remember the Bible makes a difference in 2023. My question to you today is, in 2023, will the Bible make a difference in your belief and your behaviors? Or will your life be shaped by the world, by Google, by Facebook, by self-help books? Or will you trust in the Bible? Let us pray. Most important and first question about knowing that the Bible makes a difference is Paul told Timothy it was able to lead him to wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ. The Bible tells us there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be saved. There's only one way to be forgiven for the mistakes we've made. If you do not have a personal relationship with Christ, it is this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've not lived your way. Lord Jesus, I believe that you come to this earth and lived the life I should have lived. I believe you died in my place, the death I deserved. I believe you was buried, and 3 days later, God raised you from the dead so that I would know he accepted your sacrifice in my place. Lord, please forgive me. Please take control of my life, and please help me depend on you and your word, because I believe the Bible makes a difference. If you've prayed that, raise your hand. Amen. If you're here and you've been saved a long time, and I know sometimes when we've followed the Lord and we read our Bible and we pray, we kind of think that we already know all there is to know. But the Bible is alive and active. My question to you is, did you depend on the Bible to make a difference in your life in 2022? And if you didn't, will you commit this morning that in 2023, the Bible will make a difference in your beliefs, in your behavior, because daily you will set aside time to pray, read God's word. You'll continue together with Christians.
One day you'll make everything new, Jesus. One day you will bind every wound. Former things shall all pass away, no more tears. One day you'll make sense of it all, Jesus. One day every question resolved, and every anxious thought left behind, no when we all see shout the victory. One day we will see face to face. Jesus, is there a greater vision of grace? And in a moment we shall be changed on that day. One day we'll be free. Struggle will cease. We will see your glory revealed on that day. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we
Amen. Thank you, Scott, and thank you, Bobby. And I believe y'all would all agree, when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And you know, when we see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. You know, we will when we get to heaven. But I want you to remember this. The Bible makes a difference on this earth, whether we can rejoice in difficult times. And the Bible makes a difference if we can sing victory while we're traveling this life journey from earth to heaven. God give us the Bible for a reason. You know, we need to teach our kids that and let them know that the Bible shapes our beliefs and our behavior. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you for everyone here today. And Lord, I know there's several faces missing here today that I actually spoke with yesterday that was planning to be here. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but be with them if they're sick or just had to stay in this morning. And Lord, help them and heal them. Be with these on the prayer list. Lord, each person that's here today, I pray right now that the Spirit of your Son would just fill their hearts with the joy of knowing they belong to you. That, Lord, you didn't leave us or forsake us. You didn't leave us as orphans, but you sent us your Spirit to live in us. And Holy Spirit, help bring into remembrance the things that Jesus said. Help guide us in truth and help us live a life that brings glory to the Son. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank y'all.